Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, Friday, October the 7th, 2022. 10 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk time, and it is the first Friday in the month of October. We are well into the season of autumn here in the Midwest, and it is beautiful, beautiful weather. We're in the mid-50s today, but the trees are beautiful, the colors are beautiful that autumn brings, and I think we're headed into a beautiful autumn season. Now, this hour, take whatever device you're listening on, cell phone, tablet, television, whatever you're listening to this program on, and make sure, put a piece of tape on it, that you cannot change the dial for the next hour, because we have a guest on who is a dear friend of this program, and we are so glad to have him back on, because I don't believe he's been on since his birthday in April. Now, this man is 96 and a half years old. Now, the only reason I tell you that is because he... you will not know that by the sound of his voice and the quickness of his answers, because he is the funniest man alive. And I said, you know, with Halloween coming up and autumn, he's a Midwest boy. He came from this area, and he certainly has played clubs in the Midwest, so he knows what autumn in the Midwest is all about. He knows what Halloween's all about. He knows, and the other thing we might get to today, Merriam-Webster, the Merriam-Webster dictionary, has introduced 370 new words this year. So we might go through these words and some meanings and see if our guest knows about these words. And in 96 and a half years, think of how many words have been introduced in his lifetime. What a pleasure it is. And he truly is the funniest man alive, guaranteed. It is to introduce the man who does voices. He sings songs off the top of his head. He tells jokes. He is clever. One word to describe him is superlative. And go to the Merriam-Webster dictionary if you don't know what that means, and look it up, because you'll see this man's picture right beside the word superlative. We welcome to these microphones once again, and hopefully many more times, Shecky Green. Shecky!
Wait a minute, I want to meet that guy.
In that quiet, I should follow you around as a resume.
No, whoever that is. Hiya, Shecky. Micah. The autumn breeze goes by my window. The autumn breeze from Ohio. I say hello to all you folks. And at this time in the morning, I can't think of too many jokes. But I tell you this, I send you all a kiss. And may the snow soon fall to the ground. Oh, I'm glad you call me now. For I'm 96, you see. And I don't know whether the next day there's gonna be me.
I love it.
I love it. That's good.
That was good. I mean, it was Robert Goulet-ish. It was very good.
Whatever happened to Robert Goulet? Where is he?
I think he's dead.
Honestly?
Yeah, I think Robert Goulet died actually many years ago. We'll run a check on that very quick, but we'll see if Robert Goulet is with us or if he's went on to his reward. But I think he's been
dead. I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you a story about my life. At 96... I call somebody, and they say, the person says, oh, you didn't hear? And as soon as I hear, you didn't hear...
Hang up the phone.
No. Was his wife living?
His wife is still around, but Robert Goulet has actually been dead 2007. He's been dead for 15 years.
Oh, my God.
So thank God we're talking about him this morning. We're keeping it alive.
Well, he was a very good friend of mine at times. He had a strange personality. But at times we were very good friends.
His wife Vera, I believe, is still around, though.
Yeah, we can go into an hour of that.
Hey, I gotta ask you, we've talked about it so many times, and God knows she departed a few years ago, and she was a good friend of ours, too, on the air here, an Ohio girl, Kay Ballard. Is that English woman still living in her house?
Yes.
Why?
That woman has got an English accent, and she talks like this. And she said, darling, she's dungeon her, Kay is not with us. But I have the two dogs, and I have the house.
Now, okay, I never understood this, because when Kay, at the last 10 years, you know, we didn't go through a manager, because we became friendly, but this woman answered the phone like a bulldog, and I didn't know if she was Kay's companion, if she was her housekeeper, I never knew who she was.
Well, I don't think Kay knew either, darling. She always say, darling. I really don't know. All I know, Kay asked me to stay one day, and I didn't bring any other clothes, so I've been here ever since.
And God bless her, that's Desi Arnaz's house.
It was Desi Arnaz's house.
I wonder if Desi Arnaz ever thought an English woman who likes to tip the bottle would be living there all these years later.
Is that funny that how do you know she tips the bottle?
Well, when I would call her to book Kay on the show, the conversations would go like this. I would say, is Kay in? And she would say, yes. And I would say, could she come on this afternoon at 2:30 to talk about such and such? And she'd say, well, I'll have to ask her. And I'll say, okay. And she would say, could you call me back in 45 minutes? And I'd say, didn't you just say she was right there? It takes 45 minutes to ask her? I said, can I talk to Kay? And she said, well, no, you can't talk to Kay. And I said, well, why not? Well, I'm not sure where she is. I always felt like there was a little inebriation there.
Well, I don't think there was a little.
It was a lot. There was a lot of inebriation there.
Yeah, Kay had, she had two grocery lists. One for her food and one for, well, look at the African name. My God.
Now, you used to go over to Kay's house. What did you think this woman was? Who was she? Oh. Where'd she come from?
Well, I could go into that. If you want to know something, that's a long story.
I think we all know what you're trying to say right now.
Yes, I know you. I know you know. And we could tell the people later, but Kay was a magnificent, wonderful, beautiful, talented lady.
You know, I always felt, and not just because she was from Ohio, Kay Ballard's talent never really got showcased the way it should.
Well, in her early career, it did. You know, she had little things. She used to do that thing about, you know, the little bit of hatchet. You remember that thing she did?
I do.
What was the one that got cut up? The girl?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Well, you know, she did a song about fast food. I don't know who wrote it, but it was a very good song, but never materialized.
Well, she had that guy in New York, the guy that wrote for everybody, a very good writer. Kay used good writers. But she was a wonderful lady. I love Kay very much.
Kay was a wonderful woman, and she reminded, and we just lost Pat Carroll not too long ago, I think in July.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay.
See, there it goes again.
Well, she was 95. She lived a good long life.
I stopped counting at 95.
She was 95, but I always thought, because they were both good friends of the show, Kay Ballard and Pat Carroll reminded me a lot of each other. They had the same sense of humor.
No, but what's her name? Pat Carroll was more of an actor. Kay was really a comic. But Kay sang beautifully, and people, you know, she She did it as a joke, but she sang beautifully, and she played an instrument. She used to do a thing with the flute. Do you remember that?
I do. Kay, that's why I say she was so talented, I thought she would have hit bigger, and I think that was one of her regrets, that she never got really past the mothers-in-law.
Well, she started to get big. She was in a couple of movies, and then I don't know what happened.
You know what? Just to cue people in on people who might not remember Kay Ballard and her singing, this will only take a minute and a half, but we pulled up a song here. I believe it's a name song. So this is the clever stuff that Kay Ballard used to do. Take a listen to this here on WGH Talk.
Is Shelley long or short? Is John Gielgud all day? Did that go to court? And what did Ernest Hemingway? Is Glenn close? Was Jamie Farr? Did Daniel steal your thunder? Can Tommy tune his own guitar? And what did Stevie wonder? Is Monsieur Lautrec too loose? Did Thomas cook some chow? Whom did Mother Goose? And is Helen ready now? Was Linda Gray? Is Karen black? Why did Patricia kneel? And who gave Roberta Flack? Did Norman Vincent Peale? Does Claire Bloom in the fall? Is Tony newlywed? Whom did Lucille Ball? And who gave Edith? Is Faye Dunaway? Is Charlie rich or poor? Whom did Bob Goulet? And who gives Mary Tyler Moore? Everybody!
Kay Ballard singing name dropping. Now that's typical Kay Ballard, Shecky.
Yes, and there was a play on Broadway where the guy, the barber, he was to kill people. You remember that play?
I do. I don't remember the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yes, I'm thinking of the name because I see the actor once in a while on Blue Blood. He's on that. He had the lead in that. But it's a strange business. We go back to those people, and it's a shame nobody remembers them.
Now, Shecky, you were born.
Well, I go in my house, and the lady says, "Who are you?" And that's my wife saying that.
Well, at least you don't have that. Well, hey, you know what? God forbid you're ever living alone. You can bring that lady over from Kay Ballard's house to answer your phone.
Oh, hey, darling, you know, darling, would you lie a little bit? Would you lie a little bit? We're going to have a little bit, Shecky and I. We're going to drink to the sky. What a wonderful thing. I remember Kay. I'm sorry that God took her away. Okay.
Now, Shecky, you were born in Chicago. Now, is that Midwest?
Oh, yeah, that's right in the middle of Midwest.
So what?
That's Illinois. There's Illinois, Indiana, Ohio.
Well, you know, I always ask that now because I said Pennsylvania one time was in the Midwest, and I do consider Pittsburgh Midwest. Boy, people got angry. Oh, Pennsylvania's not in the Midwest. That's the East.
That's the East.
I guess. I found that out the hard way.
Well, Pennsylvania is the East, and...
But we're not really Midwest.
You put it in the Midwest?
Well, but we're Ohio, which is right next to Pennsylvania. We're not really Midwest on the map. But we're called Midwest.
I never called Pennsylvania Midwest. I always, from the time I was a kid, it was the East.
Well, where does the East...
You take the Midwest, I take the West. Which one of them is going to be the best? Oh, pick out a town and pick out a place. You're embarrassing me. You talk right to my face. Okay.
So where does the Midwest begin, and where does the West begin?
Lake Michigan really starts the Midwest.
So there are parts of Ohio that would not be considered Midwest.
Well, Ohio is not in Midwest. You got any part of the Michigan in there, Lake Michigan?
No. So, but we call ourselves Midwest.
No, but you don't have Lake Michigan, which really is in the starts the Midwest.
So we're east.
Wait, I got another phone here. I'm going to call Lewis of Lewis and Clark. I think he's still living.
He might be. He might be. I don't think he's went with Bob Goulet yet. But your memories of Chicago in autumn.
Beautiful Chicago, the place where I was born. Oh, dear, when I was born, the rabbi blew a horn. He blew a horn, and they did a terrible thing. I can't say it on the telephone. When we were born, little Jewish kids, they take advantage of them.
Did you like the colors and the fall beauty?
Oh, fall was one of my favorites. Fall was beautiful. The fall was to me the best of all. The summer would get a little bit too hot. But the fall is beautiful.
Now, what's fall like out in Las Vegas, where you are now?
Where the what?
Where you are now. What's fall like in Las Vegas?
Fall is 97.
Oh. Is that...
96?
Not a lot of colors.
Oh, my God. Did you look... You leave that open.
Well.
Oh, God. Not a lot of color. Well, my neighbor.
Boy, I'll tell you, we've been all over the place this morning already.
You want to know about Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween? Were you a big Halloweener when you were a kid?
No. You want to know, I lived in the neighborhood. I don't know. I was going to say tough for kids. You know, we travel, always travel around with 3, 4, 5 kids, you know. But that thing was not big when we were young, the candy, because they didn't make the little candies at that time. So we were not big like that. And it's strange. People say, did you go and knock on the door? You know, no, we go rob the door.
Oh.
You know.
Well, that's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Hello, is your husband home? No, okay.
Now, do you pass out candy now?
When the kids come in?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're at the end of the block, so by the time they get it, we're out of candy. You know, little kid said, hey, mister, I'm not coming back here again. I said, well, wait a minute. I'll find something. I don't want something. I want candy.
Kids are particular.
Huh?
I say kids are particular.
I didn't quite get that.
Kids are particular. They have their own agenda.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, Shecky...
I got to make up a song on her agenda.
No. Shecky, 96 and a half, what's it like?
Well, for me, it's like 95 and a half, because I haven't been out of the house. I fell and broke things, and then I got well, and then I fell again.
Oh, no.
So, let's see, let me look at my fall season comes up again in another month.
Oh, another fall.
Well, it said fall on my calendar, and I did.
No. What are you breaking?
I broke the hip, a leg. It is not healing, and I learned a new song. It's called Oh.
Oh.
It has no lyric.
Now they say a hip break is very, very painful.
A hip break, oh yeah. Yeah, that lets me know I'm alive, I'll tell you that.
Well, now, are you...
You know something? I take a note to my mother. Oh God, Mama, listen. I don't have one friend. Now, I mean, in show business, maybe to call somebody or something. I don't have one decent friend to call in this town of Las Vegas.
Now, what's the reason for that?
I don't know what happened. Most of my friends have died. I hate that word. Died. That's what you do with clothes. You take clothes, you dye them.
Yeah.
That's all you should do.
But what word do you like? I say went on to their reward.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how I get, because I don't like passed away either. I'm not sure what that means.
No, a lot of my people lived a long life, you know. But people like Goulet and stuff, I never knew where they went.
Well, you know, it's in the years we've been doing these shows together, so many people we've talked about. I mean, we really, really for a long time talked about Larry King, and then he went on to his reward.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he'll probably be the same place I'm going to be. We'll fight again.
I just still can't believe Larry King thought he was a roughneck.
Roughneck? Well, Larry King was a New York nothing. I mean, he was whatever he did with his show, that's fine. But to me, he was not my kind of friend. I mean, Larry King, you know, had a good show and everything else, but he wasn't my kind of friend. And I'll tell you why. He took a liking to Rickles because Rickles started where he was. And because he liked Rickles, he took a dislike to me. And if it wasn't for me, there wouldn't have been a Rickles. That's kind of arrogant, but I'll tell you later about that.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Because now why is it there would not have been a Rickles had there not been you?
Because when Rickles was working at Slate Brothers in Los Angeles, he was doing that. So when I was so big in Vegas, when I went into the lounges, I started that comedy in the lounges. Then I suggested this kid, you know, and they brought him in to the Sahara. And so that was, and then Rickles had a tendency, which is wonderful, to make friends with the show people. Actually is the truth, not that I didn't want to, I just was not that kind of mixer. I mean, I can tell you, the different people.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, because of all the people, and we've had some fun conversations, and you do the great voices, but I think of all the people we've talked about mainly over the years who've become staples. We talked about Ed Sullivan, we've talked about Hervé Villachez, Larry King, Colonel Tom Parker, and you know what they all have in common? They're very type A personalities.
Isn't that amazing? Yes.
They all know everything. And if it's not their way, it's the highway.
Isn't that amazing?
I wonder why that is. I wonder, you know, because not everybody's like that. But these people were. Oh, and by the way, somebody else, this is nice, we can actually mention a person who is alive. I think it's the first person in this show we've mentioned who's alive. But she just had a birthday, 93 years old, September, I think it was late September, September 25th, Barbara Walters, 93.
Oh, I love Barbara.
Have you spoken to Barbara recently? Because there's all these rumors.
I could pick up a phone and call her. But Barbara, let me tell you, Barbara was so good to her mother, her and her sister, you know, and I love that.
Well, can you find out how Barbara is? Because there's all these rumors since the pandemic, because nobody has seen her, that she's got dementia or she's ill. And you know, I don't know why this... I think she's just staying inside.
Yeah, because she was out there. She had... Well, that talk show, the ladies show, that was hers.
Right. I mean, I think Barbara Walters always used to talk about retiring, and she said, when I retire, I'm leaving. I'm like Johnny Carson. And I think that's what she did, but now everybody thinks she's got dementia and hiding and locked away, and I don't know.
Well, I gotta find out.
Yeah, call Barbara up and to wish her a happy birthday and see if you can get her on the phone.
I'm trying to figure out who I can call. I'll look it up. I'd like, if I can get out of bed. Let's see. I'm on the right side. Yeah, I'll get up to the left side in about 2 days.
We'll find out
how. And I gotta get out of bed and call.
We'll find out how Barbara's doing. And we hope she's doing well because, you know, she took care of her parents, the famous Lou Walters of the Latin Quarter.
With one eye. He had one eye and he played the poker all the time. He was a card player, gin rummy and poker. And he lost up. He would make money and then lose money with the gambling. And, yeah.
Now, was he type A, like Ed Sullivan and Colonel Parker? Was he a type A personality?
Yes, he was a very interesting man. He was a kind of an arrogant man. You know, anytime that people have position of a lot of people, when you have 20 girls and you have the choreographer and you have the guy with the owns the whatever.
Even with one eye, he was arrogant, huh?
With one eye, but I had the misfortune of always looking at him with the other eye.
Now you worked the Latin Quarter, did you not?
Not long.
Oh, it was a short trip.
Let me tell you, I did the kind of act where I play with the people. But when I worked there, they brought in busloads. It was a tour place. And they would get off the bus and then bring them in. So they weren't really my kind of people. And I would, this is wonderful. I go out and the girls had a number, the dancers, they had a line. That they had a wine number and something like that. And the water dripped from the thing. So when I came out to work, the water was dripping. You know?
Yeah.
So I would come out with an umbrella and put the, you know. And then finally right at this time, is that amazing? The Jewish holidays. I went to the owner, Barbara's father's partner, and I said, you know, I'm very religious, which I'm not, and I said, I can't work on this religion, and I quit. But I never threw away that umbrella.
So Lou was not a taskmaster, he just had his, for a pun, he didn't have his eye on the ball.
No, Lou was very successful when his time. That was one of the big places, the Latin Quarter in New York. That was the Copacabana and the Latin Quarter. The Copacabana was that they had shows like the Follies Brigere and stuff like that. And the other one had Copacabana had just individual performers. Like I work with Nat King Cole, who is one of the great people in the world. They tell me now, I wanted to go, I love you now. And everyone he was great.
Well, a lot of those people, do you think performers in those days are different than performers these days?
I don't know the performer of these days.
Well, like
at 97, not too many people followed me.
No, but you know, do you watch the tele? Who do you watch on television?
That may take a little time. I watch television, and I don't even know what I'm watching.
Do you watch Password?
The Password?
Yeah, they've brought it back now with Jimmy Fallon and Password.
No, I don't watch that. I like Jimmy Fallon, but not as much as the other guy. What's his name?
It's Colbert.
Colbert. Let me tell you, including Johnny Carson, this kid got the right angle for that show. He's wonderful.
You know, you did a lot of those game shows like Match Game. Now, Match Game always seemed to me like they wanted you to be provocative. Did they tell you, they say, listen, we want you to be a little risque?
Do you know what? I was with all those, every one of them, I said hello and every, Betty White is the only one I was close to. I mean, I knew everybody, but I wasn't close on that show. Now, I mix things up. I hope your people understand what I'm going to say. I mix things up with Jewish or Gentile. In other words, is the act a Jewish act? Like somebody that's my type of material would be a Jew. They'd say, I don't want to see him. He does Jewish stuff. You know what I mean? But that's the kind of people.
You know,
there was that side of show business. And that was the other side.
I was going to ask you about this because, of course, we all know Betty White passed away at 99, and you're getting close to 97, and they just auctioned off all of her memorabilia, and I think it brought in $4 million or something. And she kept scripts, and she kept clothes, and they just auctioned everything off. Now, did you have clothes that you wore on stage or scripts? Did you keep any of that stuff?
No. I'll tell you what I kept. I kept pictures, people I took pictures with, and movies that I was in, and, that stuff.
Do you still have your tuxedo?
Not clothes. I mean, I know that one show that I did, I forget, the movie even, and the director was once what was his name? He was married to Betty Barnes. Anyway, he says to me, I want you to wear a brown suit. I said, I don't have a brown suit for the picture. He said, I want you to wear a brown suit. He was one of those kind of guys. Like, I'm not supposed to not hear him. I want you to wear a brown suit. Okay, let's go get a brown suit. So he and I went and got me a brown suit. So when the picture's over, I kept a brown suit. He said, you can't keep the brown suit. I said, why, are you doing this picture over again? Then he said, no, you got to give back the picture. Ingrid Bergman came in with him. He brought Ingrid Bergman in to see me, go to figure that out. The meeting, Ingrid Bergman, one of my favorites. And I says, Miss Bergman, she's what? And with that beautiful accent. I said, did you return all your clothes from your movie? She said, no, you know, they made the Dominique, the first, the good, that Swedish. Escanilla, the third, the Lutfisk. She said, no, I kept all my clothes. I said, here, I said to her, I'm keeping the brown suit.
Well, I was just looking here on the internet, Shecky, and a lot of your pictures, publicity photos, you're in a tuxedo. Did you keep your tuxedo?
No, you know what? I gave it to the guys that became. What's this kid? Look at it. I know him. So the kid that had at the night show.
Jay Leno.
With a big chin, with Dick Tracy's chin.
Jay Leno.
You knew right away. Huh?
We're really playing password here this morning, so people can tune into this.
Jay Leno used to dress like a slob. He would dress all kinds of. Yeah, Jay. I said, Jay, do me a favor. When you go on, because I knew he was clever and dress, put on something neat and everything. And then he did that. And whether he knows it or not, that changed them a little bit.
You know what I never understood? You had a good relationship with Jay. You helped him with his clothing. He's on record as saying you told the funniest joke ever told. It's a tell the joke real quick so people know what I'm talking about.
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra saved my life. Five guys were beating me up, and I heard Frank say, "That's enough."
And Jay Leno says that's the funniest joke ever told. So here, you help, you gave him laughter.
Because Jay Leno wanted me beat up.
Well, there you go. So you help. He claims you as a very funny man. He gives you credit. You helped him with his clothes. Now, how many times were you ever on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno?
Now that's a very interesting thing. I was on one of the first shows that he did as the MC. When I was finished doing my part, he didn't sit me down. Now, to be the first one to work on it, never. I could not believe that he did not ask me to sit down. And from that time on, Jay Leno and I were not the best of friends.
Because you had guest hosted that show during the Carson era.
That's right.
That's terrible.
I found out why they wanted me to guest host.
Oh, why is that?
It's interesting to your audience.
Yes.
Carson wanted me to host it because he knew the people that were going to be on it were no good. He didn't want to interview those people. Not they weren't not good in general. They're just not good interviews for him. So he took off on it that time. He put me on when they were terrible. I had Robert Conrad and I got into it. We almost got into it. Robert Conrad. Every time I slowly turn. You know that joke?
No.
we'll go into that later on. Slowly I turn. Anyway, and Robert Conrad told a little girl from England that did the upstairs downstairs show what to say. So when she came out, I says, "Oh my God, you know, I love English." She says, "I'm Australian." But she was English. But he told her to say that. So that's the kind of thing, when I hosted, that's the kind of joy I had.
Well, see, I'm kind of picking up here. You learn these things in the trade as you go along. So if I know I've got bad guests, and heaven knows that happens from time to time, I should just get somebody else to come in and host that morning.
Is that what you're saying, that you should?
Well, yeah, I should. Johnny Carson did this, and apparently it worked for him.
Yeah, that's what he did. He got said, if he didn't like it, that's it.
So I say, boy, this one's going to stink, and I just find somebody else to come sit here and talk to him.
But the one, I'm going to tell you something. The producer was with the, he had a long cigarette holder, and
Fred DeCordova.
Name it again.
Freddy DeCordova.
The lowest. He did not like me. He never came out and said to me, "Shecky, let's do this, let's do that." So I never had anything to do with him. So in other words, I hosted the show. Nobody ever told me what to do.
Well, that's rough.
That was rough, yes.
You know, I looked up Robert Conrad. Now, Robert Conrad's only been gone since 2020, so he just recently left us. But
Robert Conrad, wait, had a very bad accident.
Oh, did he? I did not realize this.
Oh, yeah, he was all crumbled up. I don't know whether it was a ski accident or an automobile, but very bad. He was in bad shape when he died.
Oh, speaking of that, are you still driving at 96 and a half?
No, at 95 they take your driver's license away. But you sell the guy the car that takes it. The guy that takes your driver's license away, you sell him the car.
Oh, so you don't even have the car anymore?
No, the car, I sold it and cried. "Goodbye, my car, you leave the star has to walk home. I walk or see, I don't drive, cause no one will drive with me. What can I do? I ruined my shoes, they're all worn out, I know. I wish I was 21 again, so I can drive to my show. Okay.
You know, I felt horrible because you used to love to go to the grocery store. Do you get down there now?
I just go down to Sing.
Oh, okay. Are you driven?
I go to the drugstore, Smith's. Grocery store and the drugstore, just the same. Have you got any aspirin? Is it going to cure my headache? What do you do? Oh, please tell the Jew. Are you going to make me well?
Now, in that grocery store in the aspirin aisle, do they sell any of the Colonel Parker Hadacol?
Oh, my God. Remember him?
Oh, Hadacol.
You know what I love? They had a big thing about this new picture. Presley, I didn't see it yet, I want to see it. Hey, Tom Hanks is another one that someday you and I will talk about. I did the show, and I came late for our reading, but I really didn't come late. They gave me what time to be there when I did, Splash. So they gave me what time to be there, and I came, and they said, no, you were supposed to be here 2 hours ago. They've been waiting. So they were all mad at me. So when I was in the picture, I think I was in the picture for two seconds.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but this is an interesting point, because I've never heard this Tom Hanks story before. And so Tom Hanks got angry with you for being late. Now, that's the same reason that Hervé Villechaize got angry with you.
A lot of people got angry. Matter of fact, my first 2 wives.
They got angry with you.
Would you like to hear about that?
Were you late?
The alimony?
Were you late?
I got a song called Alimony. Alimony is no baloney. They take all your dough. What can I say? I'm on the radio, so I'm gonna tell you. Okay.
So, why were you late though to both of these outings?
No, but my call. They sent my call, and then they sent it at that time. So when I came there, they said you're late. I said, well, that's the time you gave me. You know.
Now, was that the case with both Fantasy Island and Splash?
But were you following Fantasy Island and Splash? Both the same thing.
But your part in Fantasy Island is very good. You sent me that episode, and I'm glad you did, because you play a hustler. You're trying to hustle Ricardo and Hervé, and it's Florence Henderson's in that episode.
Who is?
I think it's Florence Henderson. Or was that Love Boat?
No.
Love Boat. She was
Love Boat. That's Love Boat.
Yeah. No, this is you're trying on Fantasy Island. You're kind of a hustler, trying to
and
do it.
I had a girl for a daughter.
Yeah, and you're trying to hustle Ricardo and Hervé, and it kind of resolves itself at the end. But what was it like to work with Ricardo? Act with Ricardo.
I loved Ricardo. Ricardo and I were very good friends. You know, he had infantile paralysis when he was young. He limped. Did you know that?
I did not know he limped.
Yeah, I mean he did manly parts in the movies and stuff, but he limped. He was married to Loretta Young's sister.
Really?
Did you know Loretta Young's
sister? I didn't know her sister, but I know of Loretta Young. Yes.
Loretta Young's sister was beautiful too, and she was married all their lives. They were wonderful people.
So you had Ricardo, who unfortunately had a limp, and you had Hervé, who had many, many medical issues. But he was a Frenchman.
Well, Hervé was so small, you couldn't tell whether he was limping.
You know what? And we haven't talked about this in a while, but it is important to note that Hervé Villechaize, and this is what you used to be able to get away with in Hollywood. He threatened to shoot you on the set of Fantasy Island.
I want to tell you, sir, you do that again with my wife, and I'm going to shoot you.
Now tell people what you were doing again with his wife so they don't get the wrong idea.
Well, when I came on the set, you know, I met everybody, and she came to me, they just got married. You know, this beautiful, nice lady who was average size came over to me, and she came and said, "Could I get you some coffee?" I said, "Isn't that nice?" And then he came over, he said, "I want to talk to you. I don't want you to talk to my wife. You understand? You talk to my wife, I'm going to shoot you." "You're going to what?" "I'm going to shoot you." Well, I didn't know he said shoot me. I thought he was going to give me something.
Well, did anybody overhear this conversation?
No, what's his name? Ricardo said, "Forget about him." Because Ricardo and I were good friends. We played handball together.
What?
With his bad leg, he played handball.
What? You know, these days, Hervé would be arrested for making a threat like that. And he had a gun.
No, my reputation, I would be the one they arrest.
Now, didn't he really have a gun, though? He wasn't playing around.
Well, he committed suicide.
Another one who committed suicide, unfortunately.
You didn't know he committed suicide?
Well, I heard that. You know, it's sketchy. I mean, I guess he did, but the circumstances around his death are very strange.
No, he died with the way he died. Not too much after that. He committed suicide.
You know, they made a movie on his life, I believe.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
I mean, wait, who would you want to play you in the Shecky Green story?
The cup of coffee that his wife brought to me.
What have to do it.
Who would I want to play in the what?
If they did a story of your life, who would you want to play you? Tom Hanks.
No, I there's too much of mixture in me. I did everything, but I didn't know what I did. You know what I mean? I did dialects. I sang. I didn't know what I did. They say, "Well, what does he do? We're going to go see Shecky. What does he do?" When you walk out, you'll say, "What did he do?"
Well, we got to go back and pick. We got 3 minutes left. We did not tell people what Had a Call was and why it was associated. We went to Tom Hanks for some reason. Why it was associated with Colonel Tom Parker, Elvis's manager.
Tom Parker was with a man, Senator LeBlanc. LeBlanc. From the South. And he sold Had a Call, which they used to sell the medicine off the wagons. And he and Tom were partners. Senator LeBlanc had the name, but Tom Parker was his partner. And when he found Elvis, he went in to see somebody else. And he went and he caught this kid. And that's when it started.
Now, how would Colonel Parker, in his dialect, because he certainly had a dialect, try to hawk this Had a Call?
I want to tell you, I mean, step up here, mister. Is that Hervé Villechaize? He did step up. Could someone get him out of the hole? That little fella. Now, I want to tell you, you don't need a whole bottle. You need just one spoonful. And I want to tell you, in my Southern accent, I want to tell you, you drink this.
You know.
And I want to tell you, then you got to carry a big gun.
We have never done this before. As we wrap up today, Ed Sullivan introducing Hervé Villechaize as a guest on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on my show here, I have a star of magnitude. That's what they got on the paper. I didn't say it. Irving. No, it's not Irving. It's Irv. What is that little sumbitch's name? Irv Villachase. I want to tell you, you didn't get, you, I'm going to shoot you after I shoot you and get this.
Oh, Lord. And people wonder why I call you the funniest man alive. Shecky, we never even got to the words in the dictionary, so we're going to have you back very soon.
Don't wait until next Halloween. I don't know. I'll be the one of those calls. Oh, you didn't hear me?
And then there'll be somebody living in your house, and it'll be a whole mess.
Oh, that lady, she goes from house to house.
The one.
I just wanted to say there was still two bottles left when you called.
The one and only funniest man alive, Shecky Green. Thanks, Shecky.
I love you.
But I love you too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than that on a Friday. All right, I think Linda Sims coming up in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
This is in primaries. He's lost. He's not won any one of them. Yet if he wins today, his home state, they're considering him a major contender. And I guess I